Welcome to In the Studio with a 21st Century Perspective on History's Greatest Rock Album.
Guitar up.
One, turn two, three.
I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, it's the story of William Broad, who in the 1980s took us from punk rock to hard rock while transforming himself into Billy Idol.
Yeah. See, the great thing was when I moved back to the States, it was really early 60s. And so in England, rock and roll was still very big. So I actually got to hear all people like Gene Vincent and Buddy Holly and Elvis and everybody on the radio when I was a kid. Not only in America, but when I went back to England. So my basic sort of musical education was basic rock and roll. I like the Velvet Underground and Jim Morrison and Iggy Pop and the New York Dolls and always that's a lot of what punk rock in England was based on, was that whole New York scene.
It sure was.
So yeah, I loved all that sort of stuff. In fact, Steve Stevens always says it's really funny. I was listening to tons of American music, and there he was in America listening to loads of English music. It's crazy. Rise loud a bit.
On AllMusic.com, biographer William Roman makes the point that, and I quote, Billy Idol represents the bridge between punk rock and hard rock and metal, a logical and enough evolution that somehow seemed unlikely until he made the transition, end quote. Certainly, Billy Idol's success tracks exactly the entire length of the 80s decade. Born William Broad in 1955 in England, he got the music bug when he left Sussex University as part of the famous Sex Pistols fan base called the Bromley Contingent. Billy even started his own band, Generation X, and actually had some minor success in England until the band split in 1981. His next move seemed bold. With no prospects and virtually no money, Billy Broad moved to New York City. Turns out Billy Broad had some American roots long before he morphed into Billy Idol.
I was born in London. I lived there most of my life. But I also lived in the States and Long Island in the late 50s when I was, you know, very, very young. So I actually went back to England with an American accent, can you believe it? Yeah, I thought I was American. So I had quite a sort of early sort of experience of this country, you know, when it was all Walt Disney and fins and bright colours. And
fins on cars, right?
So that's what I always remember it as. Well, my dad was looking for the American dream, but I don't think he found it.
Really? he just pulled up stakes and headed to America.
Yeah, basically, I think my dad had got ripped off enough in England, and he thought he'd try it in the States, and I think they probably ripped him off just as much.
Oh, that's a shame. How many brothers and sisters and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've got a sister.
Is she over there or over here?
Yeah, she's over there, definitely. She's
over there.
And the mirror's reflection, I'm a dancing with myself. And when there's no one else inside, in the crowd and lonely night, well, I wait so long for my love vibration, and I'm dancing with myself. So let's sink another drink, 'cause it'll give me time to think. If I had a chance, I'd have a woman to dance, and I'd be dancing on with myself. Dancing on with myself. Dancing on with myself. When there's nothing to lose, we say there's nothing to prove. When I'm dancing on with myself. We'll be right back. cause it'll give me time to think. If I had the chance, I'd ask a woman to dance, and I'll be dancing with myself. I'll be dancing with myself. I'll be dancing with myself. If I had the chance, I'd ask a woman to dance. If I had the chance, I'd ask a woman to dance. If I had the chance, I'd ask a woman to dance.
Unfamiliar with his band Generation X, they scored a terrific hit in England with the song Dancing With Myself. It comes from an EP called Don't Stop that got considerable attention from some of us American DJs. But like millions of others, the very first hit that Idol had was one that he bought, not recorded.
The very first record I ever bought was She Loves You by the Beatles. Six shillings and threepence halfpenny. I was 7 years old, and I'd saved the money up myself. So it was my first ever heavy purchase, musical purchase. Then I had a Ringo Starr snare drum.
Oh, I had to get a Ringo snare.
Of course.
So you were a drummer first?
Yeah, actually, that's what I liked originally, yeah. I wanted to play an instrument, but I was most excited about the drums. You know, I thought, I've always thought they're it's the most brilliant instrument, really. I like the Velvet Underground and Jim Morrison and Iggy Pop and the New York Dolls and... Mm. Always, that's a lot of what punk rock in England was based on, was that whole New York scene.
It sure was.
So yeah, I loved all that sort of stuff. In fact, Steve Stevens always says it's really funny. I was listening to tons of American music, and there he was in America listening to loads of English music. It's crazy. So the great thing was when I moved back to the States, it was really early 60s. And so in England, rock and roll was still very big. So I actually got to hear all people like Gene Vincent and Buddy Holly and Elvis and everybody on the radio when I was a kid. Not only in America, but... when I went back to England. So my basic sort of musical education was basic rock and roll.
Here she come now, say morning, morning. Shoot 'em down, turn around, come on, morning. Hey, she give me love and I feel all right now. Good, you gotta talk. Yeah.
That's Just Fun. That is Billy Idol with his cover of the Tommy James and the Shondells hit Money Money. Also comes from the Don't Stop EP. And later became a big hit with a live version in America.
This song, White Wedding, from the follow-up to the Don't Stop EP, that's the one that I think, would you agree, really put your name on the map?
Yeah, that was the one that sort of really gave me a relationship with the American audience, one they could sort of recognize me by the most. I actually wrote it, funny enough, seriously about my sister getting married, because she was actually doing that thing of being pregnant already, but getting married in a white wedding dress, and it was almost funny, you know, like, you know, people use conventions to bring about security, even something silly like a white wedding dress, and, you know, and so the whole song was really just an aim at fighting against conventions, which just hold you in, don't let you out, if you're using them for the wrong reasons. If you're not really in love with someone, you're marrying them, it's definitely a mistake. No service or ceremony or religion is really going to help you in the end. So it's kind of about that. It's sort of saying, I'm not so anti-weddings as just if there's a falsehood in it, it's not so nice then. And that's the idea of the psychotic, almost incestuous brother coming back, claiming the right to his sister.
Start again.
searing social commentary and the sneering vocal of White Wedding made the video emerge as one of the inaugural hits of earliest MTV in America. Next, Billy Idol explains how pivotal his return to the U.S. was and how the punk look tended to limit his employment in the workplace. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and for a whole lot more, you can visit inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Billy Idol, the album Rebel Yell. Welcome back in the studio, Billy Idol's Rebel Yell. I'm Redbeard. Now, make no mistake about it, Billy's earliest bands in England, particularly Generation X, didn't take some pious, punk, nihilistic pose. Generation X was clearly commercial, so when Billy found himself without a band and without prospects in New York City, Billy had no philosophical problem with seeking out and signing with Kiss's manager, Bill Aucoin. Here's Billy Idol with me in the studio.
I didn't come to the States till the 1980s. But yeah, when I came here, I moved to New York. Yeah, because at the time, that was one of the few places I'd been where I knew there were other rock and roll musicians of the same sort of caliber as myself. And at the time, I had no money, so New York's the perfect place to move to in terms of getting around and stuff. Yeah, the greatest thing was that people actually had a sort of certain amount of awareness of me, and even better, they had sort of a respect for me. And that was kind of amazing, because in England, that things had gone to sort of deteriorated to such a degree that, you know, it wasn't as if I was the most respectable person on earth. Can't say I am now, but...
But at least you got a bank account, right?
Yeah, at least people were excited about my music, and it gave me a whole fresh start.
Founding title song to Billy Idol's 1984 multi-million seller Rebel Yell, featuring the co-writing and pyrotechnic guitar of Steve Stevens. When I've talked with many of rock and roll's greatest British performers, they all tell a common tale of being forced to actively seek out American blues and soul records in the 60s, because the government-controlled radio station back then, the BBC, was the only one in the whole country. Interestingly, 10 years later, Billy Idol found their patchwork quilt of musical block programming beneficial.
England's got a much different radio format. They tend to play lots more different things on the same station, if you know what I mean. It's not all split up. There's not black and white radio. There's not pop radio, if you know what I mean. There isn't really different sort of zones of people making music.
Different formats.
So you'll hear a soul song, then a heavy rock and roll song, then a blues song, then a one after another. So it's a great education. And of course that means you're constantly exposed to things from America that sometimes Americans aren't hearing them in that order. So they, if you're not tuned to that station, you don't know about it. I was able to come here and have a chance to play rock and roll music to rock and roll people, and they liked it. So that's fantastic.
Have you ever had a straight day job?
Not really, no. I left sort of college and I only did like a delivery job for about a year. So the only thing I'm actually capable of doing in a job is delivering things. So yeah, I can do it. I can get the invoice signed, you name it. So I used to deliver to construction sites with all my punk rock hair and all my jeans ripped up and everything. And all the building workers used to be absolutely in hysterics.
Yeah,
there'd be someone like me delivering big drills and things. It's
and now their kids are going to be paying to see you tonight.
Yeah, now they look like me.
Without a face, human grace. Your eyes without a face.
Coming up next, more idle talk about sex, videos, rock and roll, and Reagan-era politics. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you can find a whole lot more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Billy Idol. Welcome back in the studio for the Billy Idol's Rebel Yell. I'm Red Beard. Billy happened to be on tour at the time of this interview in the studio, and I noticed that Billy seemed to really enjoy hearing his songs on the radio as we discussed them.
It's just great to hear the recorded versions when you know you're going to be playing this stuff live tonight. I mean, I'm glad that I can enjoy my music. It's not being egotistical. It's dance rock music, so you've got to move, you know. If you're always looking to make sure it's that what you're doing on stage is definitely matching what you've done on the record, and if not better, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, you're always sort of concerned with those sort of things. Now, I guess the wildest thing about it is it's always ridiculous seeing that bit of plastic going around. If your voice coming out of it, it's kind of funny. Something nice about records is sort of silly, but I like it. So it was great the day that I found myself on one. I couldn't believe it.
Do you remember the first time you ever got a song, a record, and you looked on the paper label and your name was in there?
Yeah, the very first Generation X thing we bootlegged ourselves, so it was great because we made the label up and everything, and pretty fantastic. That's a great moment.
With equally effective contributions by Billy Idol, co-writer guitarist Steve Stevens, and producer Keith Forsey, the song Flesh for Fantasy from the Rebel Yell album, the flesh part was accurate, but it was no fantasy when Billy was named in the Heidi Fleiss call girl investigation. He never denied it. In fact, found no reason to.
If you had it to do all over again, would you change anything?
Well, I might have changed these shoes, but... no, not really. I'm lucky. I think there's nothing much to regret. I mean,
I good. That's great that you can say that.
I think the biggest thing is you sort of miss a lot of friends you've had along the way. It kind of is like that because you're constantly moving. You tend to, you know, miss friends and stuff, or miss situations. Like Generation X was a great group to be in. I sort of always miss that punk rock time because it was such a sort of, you know, friendly. A load of people giving you their songs and you throwing in theirs. Nothing had been recorded then, so it was very exciting. But of course, you just got to keep going, put the same excitement into what you're doing now.
Fall, another hit from Billy Idol's 1983 Rebel Yell album.
What do you think of songs like To Be a Lover? You can see that I've got my roots in rhythm and blues as much as, you know, rock and roll, if you want to call it.
That's a very good point. Now, for those who think that this is your song and that you wrote to be a lover. Give them a little bit of the background. Where'd this song come from?
Well, see, I like reggae, and I was listening to a George Faith album I had for 10 years. That was called To Be a Lover, because the song was on it. It was a slow reggae song. And then when when we came to do it for the album with Blash Smile, basically we looked for the person who wrote it and found, no, it wasn't the reggae person who wrote it. It actually was a Stax song written by Booger T. Jones and William Bell, and it was very slow with the violins on it.
From Memphis.
And we almost Booger T'd it more than Booger T, so that's crazy. But I think that's, like I say, it shows you I've got roots go a long way back, right to, you know, almost when I was born.
Have I told you really that I love you? If I didn't, darling, you see, I'm so sorry. Didn't I reach out and hold you in your loving arms? Well, if I didn't, baby, well, I'm so sorry. When I realize that you need love too, I'm gonna spend my life making love to you. Have mercy, forgot to be a lover, baby. Forgot to be a lover. Forgot to be a lover.
Rocker in 1986 from Billy Idol from the Whiplash Smile album, straight out of the Stax catalog. Hard living would later derail Billy's career in the 90s and almost prove fatal twice. A 1990 motorcycle accident almost cost Billy a leg, then a 94 overdose almost took his life. But Billy Idol dodged those bullets. His 2001 Greatest Hits album sold over 500,000 copies in the U.S. alone. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this.